to look at the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal, and looking at various ways that people do steal. No sin stands alone. In other words, with every sin that we commit, there are other sins involved in that. And again, if you begin to, and it's really a healthy exercise to do, so it causes you to realize the seriousness of sin. But if you begin to dissect just one sin, or what we think is one sin, you soon discover that in that one sin are innumerable sins. Psalm 32 and 5, the psalmist said, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. The iniquity of my sin. So, the sin of my sins, all the sins that include it. So when we come to the Ten Commandments, there are, in the second table, specific things that we are not to do. And we can do these things indirectly through other sins, because once again, no one sin stands alone. So we've seen thus far that there are a variety of ways in which we can steal. Most people would limit stealing to going into a store, taking something off the shelf, putting in your pocket, and walking out. And some people don't even consider that stealing because they have this entitlement attitude or whatever. But stealing, as we've already seen, is much, much wider in its scope than that. We saw last week that if we willingly, and I put emphasis unwillingly and knowingly, partner with a thief, we are guilty of at the least being an accessory. We are guilty of stealing. Again, willingly and knowingly. We can do so ignorantly, but to willingly and knowingly do so would be a degree of stealing. We also said last week, the one who borrows money or other material things from others with absolutely no intention to pay it back is stealing. That would be stealing. People use the word borrow pretty loosely when they really mean, will you give me? There's a big difference between a gift and a loan. And to borrow with no intention to repay, again, is stealing. We also saw last week that stealing may involve the abuse of legal rights. This is thrown up quite often in other areas as well. Well, it's legal. That doesn't make it right. There's a lot of things legal by the government that are illegal in God's eyes. So we can abuse our so-called legal rights. And we used bankruptcy as an example. And again, bankruptcy can be used to structure the payback of debts. That's what it should be. It is to structure the payback of debts. In that case, I don't think there's anything wrong as long as it is the structuring of the payback of what you owe. But to use bankruptcy laws as a legal pretext for not paying debts, that's theft. That's stealing. I don't care how legal it is. That is stealing. Also, all forms of vandalism would be a form of stealing. Vandalism, of course, is the act of deliberately destroying or damaging property. It is the willful and malicious destruction or defacement of public or private property. And someone may say, well, that's just vandalism. Yes, it is vandalism, but it also involves theft. Again, a sin does not stand by itself. When property is vandalized, someone has to take the time that they would not have had to take it to fix, to repair the vandalism. So someone's time has been stolen. Also, someone has to incur the expense. It may be the insurance company, but either way, someone has to incur the expense of having it repaired. So vandalism, in a very large sense, is a theft of time. It is a theft of money. And there are things, you and I, if someone breaks into our house, steals a TV, steals some money, those things can be replaced. But there are things that people steal that can't be replaced. Time is one of them. Time can't be replaced. And we'll mention some other things as well. But there are things that are stolen that will never, ever be replaced. Again, someone says to me, I'll meet you at 1 o'clock, and they know they're not going to be there till 1:30. As far as I'm concerned, they've stolen a half hour from me that I'll never, ever get back. When one spends money irresponsibly and therefore is unable to meet their responsibilities, that also is a form of stealing. Again, we mentioned this last week. Someone spends money on recreation or whatever, knowing that they have a debt over here of $150, but they've just spent $150 on pleasure, and now they can't pay their bill. That's stealing. It's irresponsible, but it is a form of theft. And people all the time will say, I can't pay such and such a bill. And really the question needs to be asked, why? Why can't you pay that bill? And perhaps they've fallen on hard times. Circumstances does not allow them to do so, but perhaps if they're honest, and most people won't be, if they're honest, well, I spent that money somewhere else. I spent it on having fun. Because after all, everybody has to have time to themselves. And again, we get back to the widow woman with the oil. She was to sell it and pay her debts and live off the rest. But when one is irresponsible, irresponsibility can be a form of theft. I think of how many children have been robbed because parents and spouses have wasted their substance upon an addiction. That's theft. That's theft. For the individual to get his paycheck or her paycheck, go down to the bar, spend half their check, and now is unable to provide some of their children's needs, that's theft. That is a form of stealing. Yes, it's you can say, well, it's just irresponsibility. Well, it is irresponsibility, but it's not just irresponsibility. It is a form of theft. And this happens all the time. It happens with child support. And I realize that perhaps, again, circumstances can happen, things can happen. We realize all those things. But for an individual to go down and spend that money on pleasure or addiction or whatever is theft. It's stealing from their children. It can be stealing from their spouse. I think of an example of a woman in Streamwood. When I watched her grow up, has a girl, the Lord saved her soul when she was about 16. But the whole time she was growing up, from about the time of 5 years old, because of the irresponsibility of mom and dad, she basically raised her brother from 5 years old. And this went on for the rest of her childhood. They robbed her. They stole her childhood. She can never have those years back. Mom and dad, they didn't deliberately, with the mindset, we're going to steal her childhood. I'm sure that wasn't their mindset. But because of their irresponsibility, because of their narcissism, that's what they did. They stole her childhood, something she can never, ever get back. So that's a form of theft. Murder, of course, is a form of stealing. It's pretty obvious. It's the stealing of a life. It's the stealing of a life. But it's more than that. You see, someone kills somebody and we say they committed an act of murder. Well, that's true. They committed a lot of other acts also. Because once again, sin does not stand alone. They stole a life. That goes without saying. But they also stole something from the family, from the loved ones, from the friends of that individual that they killed. They stole joy. They stole peace. Again, the list can just go on and on and on. So it's not just murder alone. But murder involves theft. It involves stealing. Kidnapping, of course, goes without saying, is theft. Book of Exodus, chapter 21, verse 26. Deuteronomy 14, 20, or 24, and verse 7 address the subject of stealing a person. In both cases, it was for the purpose of money, but doesn't matter really. what the reason for stealing a person, kidnapping. It's theft. And again, it's not just theft of that individual, it's you've stolen that person away from someone. So you haven't just committed a crime against one person. Just like when someone murders someone, they didn't just commit a crime against the person they murdered. They committed a crime against that whole family. They committed a crime against everybody who knew them. And so it is with kidnapping. They just didn't steal that child or person. They stole something from the families of that individual. Rape or incest is a stealing. It's a stealing of one's joy and one's peace of mind, and perhaps a stealing of virginity. But it's a theft. Yes, it is rape. And as such, it's immoral, despicable. But that sin, again, does not just stand by itself. There are many other sins involved in it, and one of those sins is theft. And they've stolen something that the person will never get back. Unfaithfulness of husbands and wives is a form of theft. You say, well, it's adultery. Yes, it is. But again, you begin to dissect adultery, and there's innumerable sins connected with it, just like with any other sin. When adultery is committed, theft is also committed. Notice, this is seen in 2 Samuel chapter 12. We see it is seen in Nathan's rebuke of David for his adultery with Bathsheba. Now Nathan the prophet was sent to rebuked David. David, of course, had committed adultery. David was married, and David committed adultery with another man's wife. And Nathan is sent to rebuke him, to correct him. And in doing so, he speaks a parable. And it is a parable that involves theft. Notice 2 Samuel 12 and verse 1, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city. The one was rich," that would be David, "and the other was poor," would be Uriah. "The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds," David, "but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb," which would be, that little lamb was Bathsheba, "which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him, with his children. It did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him." So in the parable, this rich man has everything he needs. This poor man has one thing, again referring to Uriah and Bathsheba. And the rich man, instead of taking of his goods and sharing with the poor man, he just took what the poor man had. And we see that David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. This is human nature. You hear of sin in others and it just angers you, well, you're guilty of the same thing. And David passed sentence. He said he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said unto David, thou art the man. Thou art the man. Adultery is a form of stealing. It's the stealing of someone else's wife or husband. And it is a stealing from the children of that wife or husband. There are many forms of stealing in the act of adultery or unfaithfulness between husbands and wives. So again, there's many different ways in which one can be guilty of stealing. And again, God gives these commands to safeguard our lives, and they're commands that we ought to take, of course, very, very seriously. Let's look to the Lord, a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace and your mercy, your long-suffering, all the ways that you bless us, ways that we do not know of. Lord, we thank you. We come to you today rejoicing that we can be in your house amongst your people, in your presence. And Lord, we pray that you would just help us today to worship you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.